Good evening. Our scripture is taken from Exodus 14 this evening, I think the entire chapter. I appreciated the message from Brother Brian this morning also, about being a good influence to others, and there's probably been times when I haven't been a good influence, and I know it was a good message to meditate on. I thought of a message I heard recently about speaking the truth in love, and it's sad, but we live in a country now where you can get shot for speaking the truth in love, and we need to pray for our country and pray for the people of our nation. We're living in perilous times, I believe. So let's read from Exodus 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pathroth, before Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told of the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, Why have we done this? What have we, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pathroth, before Baal-zephon. And when the Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go out on dry ground before the midst of the sea. And I behold, and I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will let them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, and upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from them before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and The Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on the left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come up again upon the Egyptians, unto their chariots and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the hosts of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. With the reading of the scripture, let's come before the Lord in prayer.
Good evening. As I tried to prepare for this evening, I really struggled for quite a while on what the Lord wanted me to study and prepare, and I came to this, and I'm not even sure how, but I felt God led me to Exodus 14, and I thank each of you for praying, because when I finally came to what I believe God wanted me to share, it came together well, and not because I'm an excellent person at preparing or studying, but I believe the Spirit was guiding my thoughts. So thank you for your prayers, and I'm going to ask that you continue to pray for me and for our family as the next 2 weeks as I prepare to take part in our Luffy service, that we would be faithful and that we would be in the calling that God has placed on our lives. So with that said, for a little while, we want to look at Exodus here, Exodus 14, and the experience that the children of Israel had after they left Egypt. And Exodus 14 is broke up into six different sections in my Bible, and I don't know how yours is, but I thought it was broke up very appropriately, and I want to go through those six different sections. The first one is entitled God's Instructions to the Israelites, verses 1-4. The second one is Pharaoh Pursues the Israelites, verses 5-9. Number three is Fear of the People, verses 10, 11, and 12. And then the Salvation of the Lord, verses 13-20. Number five is Crossing the Red Sea, verses 21-25. And lastly, number six, Pharaoh's Army Destroyed, verses 26-31. And as we go through this tonight, I think it was amazing to me as I studied this, how this is pointing towards the coming of Christ, how he delivers his children, just points towards a Christian life. And as we go through this, hopefully I can point that out, or if I don't, maybe you can see that as well. So I'm just going to reread the verses here, the first four verses entitled God's Instructions to the Israelites. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea over against Baal-zephon before it shall ye camp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And take notice to this, I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. The children of Israel here were given instructions in verse 2. God told Moses to tell them where to camp. And I didn't look at a map, but from what I understand, they were between a mountain and the sea, and Egyptians were behind them. They were in a trap. They were in a place where I believe when Pharaoh realized where they were in verse 3, that they were in the wilderness, he says they were entangled in the wilderness. Pharaoh knew that they could easily be overcome. They had no way out. They were trapped. Pharaoh seen that, and his heart was hardened. In verse 4, God said he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He was going to allow Satan to put into Pharaoh's heart to go after the children of Israel and to bring them back. The thing is, we can look at this and know the outcome. The children of Israel, when they were in that place, and Pharaoh, when he seen where they were, they didn't know the plan that God had. God had another plan. And he was going to allow this circumstance so he could be honored, or so that he would be honored. So he would get honor upon Pharaoh and the Egyptians, and so that the Egyptians would know that he is the Lord. Practical point here. Does God allow us to be in difficult circumstances? Maybe allows us to be in a place that looks completely impossible, so that he can be honored, so that he can provide a way of deliverance, as he did for the children of Israel. I believe that he can. I believe that he does. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. The second part, Pharaoh pursues the Israelites, verses 5 through 9. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? It didn't take long. In verse 4, God said that he was going to harden Pharaoh's heart. In verse 5, it says, in their hearts, they were turned against the people. Verse 6, and he made ready his chariots and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamped by the sea. In verse 5, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, as I mentioned, and he decided he was going to go after them. We see there in verse 7 that Pharaoh chose 600 chosen chariots, plus it says, and all the chariots of Egypt. When Pharaoh left the people leave Egypt, I believe he allowed them to go. But after they left, he was not very happy with the economics of Egypt. Can you imagine? I don't know what the population of the children of Israel was. It was a large, large multitude. They were in Egypt as slaves for, 430 years or something like that. And who knows how large the number of people were that left, but they were slaves. They were the ones that did the work. They were the ones that made a lot of things happen in Egypt. And I believe God blessed Egypt because of the children of Israel being there in Goshen. But when they left and the people realized what was going on, they decided they were going to go after them. Pharaoh was not happy about this. And when we as God's people have been called out of the world, out of Egypt, Satan's system, Satan's not happy about it. He wants us back. And he is willing, I believe as Pharaoh has done here, he is willing to pull out all stops to get us back. Pharaoh was willing to go to a lot of cost to get the children of Israel back into the land of Egypt. So Pharaoh went after them, and he was glad to see the situation that they were in. I believe Pharaoh thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. We're going to just go after them. We'll capture them. We'll bring them back. But again, God had a different plan. And as Pharaoh decided to do this, I said he pulled out all stops. But I believe that he forgot about what happened with all the plagues. I don't understand how he would have forgotten what God did in Egypt while the children of Israel were there in captivity. But apparently he forgot. Or he felt he was more powerful. I don't know. But he decided to go after them. I would think, hopefully, he would have said, I don't want nothing to do with them. Their God's too powerful for me. But he didn't. I believe Pharaoh thought he had nothing to lose and everything to gain by getting the children of Israel back into Egypt. That's where Satan is. He has nothing to lose to come after us and pursue us and try to trip us up, try to get us to fall, try to get us to be unfaithful. But in verse 8, it says, the end of the verse, it says, the children of Israel went out with an high hand. What does high hand mean there? In Acts 13, verse 17, spoken of again, the God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with a high arm brought he them out of it, with strength, with might, with a strong arm. With the power of God, the children of Israel left Egypt. And when we leave this world, when we leave Egypt, we can leave with the power of God. We are not leaving on our own strength. We are leaving with a high hand. The next section, verses 10, 11, and 12, fear of the people. And as I thought about the fear of the people, I can't imagine the feelings that were maybe going through some of their minds. Some of the things that were said here are I believe are said being controlled by fear, not really understanding and not really trusting in God. Verses 10 to 11 and 12. And when Pharaoh drew near or nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. I think some of those things were said being controlled by fear. What's going to happen to us? Are the Egyptians going to kill us? I believe that Pharaoh had a mighty army. 600 chariots, all of his horsemen coming after them. I can understand that there was fear. Had they forgotten what God had done in Egypt? Had they forgotten the plagues? Had they forgotten all those things that God had done? What about the death angel, the Passover? Had they forgotten? The people feared the armies of Pharaoh, and they were in a position where they were easily overtaken. And I just can't imagine that. Again, they were being led by the pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And that should have been just a reminder to them again, every day, every night, that God was with them. God was leading them. God brought them to this place. They hadn't turned and the cloud followed them by day. They had followed the cloud to this place. You know, as I mentioned, that Pharaoh maybe forgot, maybe even the children of Israel have forgotten what God did with the plagues, what God did in Egypt with their deliverance. How often do we forget? We are forgetful people as well, and we need to be reminded again and again. And God reminded the Israelites over and over again as they wandered through the wilderness with different things, the manna, the water from the rock, and more. God had done a miraculous work to show them his faithfulness, to show them that he loved them. And we need to be reminded of the promises in God's word. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he, or Satan, or the powers of Satan that is in the world or in Egypt. The children of Israel had a greater power with them than the armies of Pharaoh that were pursuing after them. Same way with us. We have the power of God, the Holy Spirit within us, which will help us and strengthen us. Matthew 10:28. And fear not them which kill the body. They were fearing Pharaoh. Pharaoh could kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Luke 12:5. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. If we are fearing God and not our adversary, he will give us an escape, but we must be looking to him for our deliverance. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. I believe that temptation can be fear, can be many other things as well, but God will provide a way of escape. Sometimes we got to be looking. We've got to be looking for that way of escape. He will not allow us to experience more than the grace or strength that he will give us to bear. He will provide. The next section I want to look at is entitled The Salvation of the Lord. God will provide salvation. He provided salvation of the Lord for the people of Israel there. Verses 13 through 20, I believe it is. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will shew you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I want to pause here. Fear ye not, stand still. That's what Moses said unto the people. They had an army of 600 chariots, how many horsemen coming after them. Moses said, fear ye not, stand still, what would be our first reaction? What would be the first thing we'd want to do? I would want to run. Where would they run to? They didn't have no place to run. But your first instinct would be to run. It wouldn't be to just stand still. I believe Moses was telling them, stand still, be patient. The Lord is going to show you the salvation. He is going to be faithful. He will be here. He is with us. Verse 15, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of the Lord, or the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one camp came not near the other all night. As God commanded Moses to tell the children of Israel to stand still, to fear not, to stand still, I already said what my reaction would be. What do you think? What can you imagine they thought? God would deliver them. You know, I believe if they would not have stood still, if they would have not stayed there and been obedient to God, they would not have experienced the salvation. They would not have experienced the deliverance. I don't believe God would have showed up. If we are not obedient to God, if we are not obedient to his commands, we cannot expect his blessings. We cannot expect salvation. Now, this was a plan of escape or deliverance in the physical to lead them through the Red Sea. How much more is the gift, the plan of salvation, the spiritual plan of salvation that we have been given than this deliverance of a physical body? I believe there's a connection there. God wants us to fear not our adversary, trust God, and he will show us salvation. The Israelites did not have to wait very long to see this salvation. You know, some of us may live many years, may live to be an old person, and that may feel like a long time. But in comparison to eternity, it's only a vapor to stand still, to wait on the salvation of the Lord. And I realize that standing still does not mean that we don't do anything, that we just stand here and wait. We have things that we must do, but we should not try to run ahead of God's plans. The next section here, crossing the Red Sea, verses 21 through 25. And I believe Moses did this out of complete obedience as he stretched out his hand. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. Before I go any further, I want to go back. I read the word night there. The cloud went behind the children of Israel in verse 20. Go back to verse 20. The cloud went behind the children of Israel between the Egyptians and the Israelites, and was a cloud of darkness to them, it says. I believe it was a cloud of darkness to the Egyptians. They couldn't see what was going on. I realize it's a couple places here it says it was night. But the cloud went back, covered the Egyptians with darkness. I would have thought that maybe would trigger a remembrance of the darkness, the plague of darkness in Egypt. But the cloud covered them with darkness, and that same cloud gave light unto these. I believe it gave light unto the children of Israel by night. Just something interesting there, and maybe you already thought of that, but the same cloud gave darkness on one side, and on the other side gave light. Okay, let's go back to Exodus 14:22. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." As Moses, as I said, he stretched out his hand. I believe he did that in complete obedience. He had seen God work. He had seen him in the burning bush. He's seen him in Egypt many times when he threw his staff down and it became a serpent, and many more. He trusted that God was going to do something. He trusted that God was going to do what he said, that he was going to make a way through the Red Sea. And as that wind began to blow, and I believe the waters stood up, we look at this as something almost impossible to happen. But we got to remember who was doing it. The Almighty God, the one that spoke the existence of this world into existence, the one that spoke the stars and the moon and the sun, everything that's in our galaxy into place and beyond that, and then yet down to the smallest little microscopic cell. Was it hard for him to make a dry path through the Red Sea? Really? I mean, that's just a little speck on the globe. But Moses trusted that God was going to do this. And as that water opened up and the dry land appeared, I don't believe it was a path as wide as this church. I believe it was much wider for all those people to pass through, all those animals and wagons and everything that they had. Do you think any of them tried to stick their hand in the water? You know, as a young boy, I heard this story, I thought, I would have tried to stick my hand in there and catch a fish or something. I don't know if they did. But as they passed through on this dry ground, again, they were experiencing the salvation of the Lord. And the Egyptians thought, well, they went through, so can we. And they started through. I see this as a type or a picture. And maybe you think I'm a little over the top with this, but as a child of God experiences death, and we hear songs of crossing the Jordan River or through the chilly waters, I see the children of Israel going through the Red Sea as a child of God, moving from this life to the next through the water. Satan is pursuing, because Satan pursues us all the way to the end. He pursues us until we cannot be reached by him any longer. And as Pharaoh pursued after them, we know what happens. It says that God troubled them in verse 24, no, 25, he took the wheels off the chariots. Chariots aren't going to go very good without wheels on. And then the ground began to turn wet again. They become bogged down in the mire and the muck and the mud in the bottom of that sea, and they could not escape. And God allowed the water to return. Pharaoh's army destroyed the last section we want to look at here, the end of the chapter, verses 26 to 31. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. So none of them swam to safety. They all perished. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. God was faithful and is still faithful, but God was faithful there. He showed to the Israelites again that he will do what he says, that he will provide, that he told them back in the beginning through Moses that he will deliver them. And he delivered them through the Red Sea. I can't help but think of this event recorded here points to when God or Jesus comes again, when he comes on that white horse, when he comes and there's the sword coming out of his mouth, the words of God, the words of the Bible, and he destroys Satan. Satan will no longer be able to pursue God's children. He will be done away with. And in Revelations, it talks about that serpent, that old serpent that will be cast into a lake of fire. And I sort of found that interesting. God destroyed Pharaoh and the Egyptians, which I believe are a picture of Satan in this world, as I mentioned. He destroyed them with water, a body of water. He is going to destroy Satan in a lake of fire. I believe there's a connection there. And Satan will not be able to use his pernicious ways. That word was used today at the baptizing. Satan will not be able to use all those pernicious ways to try to get the children of God back into Egypt. Do you want to stay out of Egypt? Do I want to stay out of Egypt? As we have looked at this amazing deliverance, and again, it wasn't hard for God to do that, but from our perspective, it is amazing. It was a miraculous work because it was supernatural. It was a very simple thing for God to do. In chapter 15, the first three verses of chapter 15, as the Israelites stood on the bank of the Red Sea and looked and seen the Egyptians dead upon the shore, just look at those three verses here in closing. This is called the Song of Moses. I'm going to read them. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Says, I will exalt him. We had a sermon on that during revivals of lifting God up. Are we preparing an habitation for him in our hearts, in our being? As we think about Moses and the children of Israel being delivered through the Red Sea, I believe it was pointing forward to Jesus coming the first time and making a way of salvation, but it was also pointing to his second coming and when he would destroy Satan. May God bless you.
Full account of God's long-suffering and mercy to each one of us. Look at the warnings God gave them as they were going there, as those Egyptians, as they pursued after them. You know, where the rubber, I guess, really met the road for me in this chapter was verses 26 and 27. When God gave Moses that command to stretch his hand out over that sea again, and it came back in and collapsed on those people. They were where they were at that moment. You know, as Brother Art mentioned in opening, we're in perilous times tonight, and I believe the Lord's about to give another command, and that command is to his son to return to earth. And I just questioned in my mind to myself, where am I tonight? You know, we need not forget that God is who he said he is and that he has promised us a way of escape for each one of us here tonight. Let's all reverently kneel to pray.